afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Indie Business Radio, where we do your life, your business, your way. Today is Monday, March the 5th, and I'm so glad that you joined me today. I have got a wonderful guest who is going to share some great tips with you about a topic that I think is the most popular topic that I receive questions on, and that is the question or the topic of public relations. So today we're going to tackle that in the time that we have. It's a really big topic, but you know, I've got a really great guest today, and you can also visit the website at indiebeauty.com and click on the radio link, and you can listen to other shows there from other guests who have talked about public relations and other issues as well. So happy Monday. It's great to have you guys here. Today's show is sponsored by Mojio Public Relations. At Mojio Public Relations, they offer innovative Southern-based services specializing in the fashion, beauty, and lifestyle industries. They offer an assortment of services and deliver results-driving, individualized image-building strategies. Check them out at mojiopr.com. That's M-O-J-I-O-P-R.com. Well, today's guest is an expert, a seasoned expert in the public relations arena. Sabrina Buhayi has an extensive experience in PR coupled with a strong background in event planning and business. And, of course, she's got some really great personal attributes that she brings to the business as well. She received her Bachelor of Arts in Communications with a concentration in broadcast journalism, just like me. Shortly after graduation, she was offered a position at E! Entertainment Television planning events, and her last job before she quit the traditional workforce to start her own business was as a PR and marketing manager for a luxury bridal show in New York City. Welcome to the show, Sabrina.
Thank you for having me.
It's really great to have you. Sabrina is the owner of Push the Envelope PR, and you can visit her website at pushtheenvelopepr.com. Now, Sabrina, when we were preparing for the show and exchanging emails and phone calls last week, one of the things that I found so interesting about you is the story of your transition from traditional work to working your full-time business. Can you tell us a little bit about that, and don't leave out the part about your former commute?
Sure. I worked in New York for about 5 years. I started as an intern, and then after graduating college, I continued to work at different companies within events and PR. And last year, I moved to Central New Jersey, and my commute was about 2 hours each way. So after commuting for about 6 months, I decided on Memorial Day weekend that I just couldn't take wasting 20 hours a week sitting on a bus. So I decided to quit my job with no backup plan.
I cannot imagine commuting 20 hours a week, although I guess I was really, when I left my job, at about 10 or 12 hours a week, so I was catching up with you. But did you find that other women where you worked were in similar situations? Did they share some of the frustration that you did?
No, the funny thing is that I actually, someone had told me, well, why don't you consider moving to New York? And I just didn't feel that that was a solution to my problem. I actually just purchased a house in Central New Jersey. I didn't want to live in an apartment in New York or just outside of New York. So I was a bit offended by that type of comment. And then I was looking for a job in New Jersey as well. I just couldn't, there are no PR agencies that focus on beauty and fashion, so I just decided to start my own.
Oh, there weren't any in New Jersey at the time. Okay. Well,
yeah.
I guess there's a whole bunch of them in New York.
Yes, they're all in New York.
Wow, well, that's really interesting. So what other sorts of lifestyle things that you consider when you left your job, in addition to the commute issue? Were you planning for any other things in your life?
Yeah, actually, I'm getting married in May, so I am planning a wedding as well.
Oh, wow. So how does that fit into your decision to leave a traditional job?
Everyone thought I was crazy to quit my job with no plan right before I was getting married, which, looking back on it now, it was crazy, but it was the right thing for me to do at the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, we certainly wish you all the best. How are things going so far? It's been what, about 6 or 7 months?
Yeah, it's been 6 or 7 months. I actually gave myself a deadline right around last May. I gave myself a deadline. If I couldn't build the company up by Christmas, that I would stop and return to the New York City commuting lifestyle. And luckily, things worked out, so I didn't have to go back.
Well, that sounds pretty quick. Between September and December, you had built it up to the point where you could make a decision that it was right for you to keep doing it?
Yes. I told myself that if I had 2 clients by Christmas, I would be satisfied. And in January, I had 8.
Wow. Okay, so tell us, we're gonna talk about public relations, but this is a great way for you to offer a few of the tips that you can share with listeners. What things did you do in that 4 or 5 month period that helped you grow your business that quickly?
I would just say persistence. And there were times when I thought I would never sign someone on, and I just kept at it, and just I believed in myself. I had others that believed in me and kind of pushed me not to give up. And I just emailed and set appointments up and would call people all day, and it just hard work paid off.
So by the end of December, first part of January, you had 2 clients. Approximately, and just approximately now, because you may not have kept these records, although maybe you have an exact number, how many individual calls, whether they're cold calls or whatever kind of, pitching calls that you did to potential clients, did you have to do to get those 2?
A lot. I got one of them through a direct mailer that I did. I sent out 200, and I knew that I'd probably only get about 1%, if that, back, and I ended up getting 1 client out of my 200 mailers. And then the rest, I mean, it was just emails, and I would send about, 200-300 emails a day to prospects, and, people liked what I had to say, and and my sort of untraditional approach to a normal PR agency that I'm used to coming from. So people just held on to my name and number, and when they were ready, which luckily was around that December-January cutoff for myself, then we hooked up and started working together.
That is amazing. I'm so glad you shared that, because no matter what business you're in, whether you're selling products or services or whatever it is that you're selling, that's indicative of how much outreach has to be done in order to get, 1 or 2 clients on board.
Exactly.
That's amazing. And so for all those people out there who are struggling to get some, the answer could be just send out more emails, which it sounds like is what you did. Well, thank you for sharing that. Now, I want to move into the thrust of our show today, which is helping people understand what PR is and how they can use it to market their businesses effectively. Can you start by just giving us your definition of what public relations is? Let's start with that, because there's sometimes a lot of confusion about the difference between that and marketing and advertising and where they overlap.
The funny thing is, when I was trying to pitch my business, a lot of people don't even understand what PR is, and they kind of think that it's advertising. And the biggest difference between advertising and PR is that PR creates a third-party endorsement, which creates credibility for your company, and it can really put you on the map. Where advertising creates visibility, PR gives you brand exposure that most companies are looking for.
So are both of them forms of marketing?
I wouldn't necessarily say they're forms of marketing. I think marketing, advertising, and PR are very much different, and the combination of all three can really get your company to the next level.
Okay, so let's talk then about the specific definitions of the three, and then we'll move in to talk more specifically about PR. Can you define all three of them, PR, marketing, and advertising? And of course, we don't have, time to go into great detail about each one, but just like the high-level definition of the three, and then we'll talk about how PR differs and how we can use it as small business owners.
Sure. PR, which is my specialty, again, is just getting a newspaper, magazine, or a TV station to write or do something on your company. So it's a third person giving your company credibility. So it's somebody reading about you or seeing you on TV as opposed to advertising, which is just a, you know, a print ad or a commercial, which people most times kind of disregard. However, okay, advertising does give you visibility if that's what you're looking for.
Okay.
And then marketing, of course, is just the idea is to build up your company, whether you do a direct mail campaign or, you know, an online program. It builds your business in a different way than PR and advertising.
Okay. So is an example of marketing the emails that you sent out to people when you were starting your business?
Exactly.
Okay. So those are some examples of the three. Now let's talk about public relations specifically. It's getting third-party endorsements by way of TV, radio, and media outlets, as you just said, to get third-party endorsements for your businesses to help it grow.
Correct.
So as a small business owner, how do you do that? That sounds like such a huge endeavor, and of course it is, but as a small business owner, let's just say you're someone starting out, you're interested in PR, but you have no idea where to begin. What kind of tips can you offer to people in that position?
Well, I would say the easiest thing for that person to do would be to hire an expert. And I know in the beginning budgets are tight and you don't have the time in the day to do everything yourself. And to maximize your company's exposure, you're better off hiring an expert because they have the expertise in that field and they have the contacts to get you the hits in the magazines and the newspapers that you want. So whatever your target is, you know, they can help put you out on the map. And, you know, if you're a small business, you don't need to have a big budget and hire the big dogs in New York to help you get PR. There are small companies that work with small budgets, and they have the same contacts, and they can still get you those big hits.
Okay, so tell us then, if someone decided to go that route, if they somehow found that money in their budget, what can they expect? How do they approach a PR company, and what sorts of things do you consider before you're hiring one?
Well, basically, you want to look for somebody that has a great track record. It's not necessarily the amount of clients that the company has, but it's what they've done for their clients. So you're going to want to see where they've placed their clients and if that's where you want to be. If you have a beauty company, you're going to want somebody with fashion and beauty contacts that have placed their clients in the big national magazines across the board, like, you know, Allure or Elle magazine.
So just like a website designer, when you ask for a portfolio of websites they've done, you would ask the publicist for a portfolio of client placements?
Yes.
Okay. And then how do you, I mean, there's so many PR companies that are out there, big and small. Once you've satisfied yourself that, you know, they get client placements in the kind of media that you're interested in, how do you then narrow your search down? What do you look for?
Well, you're going to want to work with somebody that you feel comfortable with talking to on a daily basis. There's PR agencies that, you know, won't take your call or will charge you to speak with them. And then there's smaller boutique agencies where they could be at your disposal. So it's really who you feel comfortable working with. And also you're going to want to speak to some of their references and to some of their other clients just to see how well, you know, how well their relationships can be with their other clients.
Mm-hmm. And what can a person expect in terms of questions they would ask a potential publicist, like what you just described? Sometimes they will charge by the minute or by some time period, I guess, to talk to you, and other times, what is it, like a monthly retainer or
yes,
something like that? Okay.
My company works on
how they charge per month and what you get in exchange for that.
Well, my company works on a monthly retainer. Basically, the way that I figured out how I wanted to run my business was from past experience.
Okay.
I worked at companies where if somebody called, you needed to write it down and clock it so that at the end of the month, a two-minute phone call could be charged, you know, $100, $200, depending on, you know, the extent of the question. And then I've worked at smaller boutique agencies where people call and you do things as you're told, and there was just a really great relationship between the client and the agency.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that sounds like the big companies are really figured out a way to, it sounds like the way attorneys charge.
Right.
by the minute.
And that's why a lot of smaller companies think that they can't afford PR because of the larger companies. Some companies won't even look at you if you're not making a certain amount of money or don't already have a certain amount of recognition.
I see. Well, those are really great tips, Sabrina, for how to choose a publicist. When we come back, we're going to share some tips with our listeners on how they can do some things to publicize their business on their own. This is Indie Business Radio. I'm your host, Donna Maria. Don't touch that mouse. We will be right back with Sabrina of Push the Envelope PR.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Indie Business Radio. We're here with the owner of Push the Envelope PR. Sabrina is here today to give us some tips and information about how, about what public relations is, first of all, which we covered in our first segment, and then second of all, how we can go about doing our own PR, because as small business owners, of course, it's great to be able to hire an expert, and I know some people out there are ready to do that. But for those who haven't gotten to that point yet, Sabrina, can you offer some tips, maybe three or four things that a startup business can do, or just a business, whether they're startup or not, that has a small budget, they can do on their own to get some media attention, and then once they get some, what to do with it to make it work for them?
Sure. Well, basically, you have to figure out what it is that you have that you want to pitch to the media. What it is, what makes it so much different or better than what's already out there.
And Sabrina, when you say pitch, can you describe what you mean by pitch?
Sure. Pitch is about three or four sentences written in a creative way that's going to make somebody stop and read what you have to say.
Okay. So it can't be my new spa opened today in Atlanta.
Exactly.
It's got to be something that makes the spa, like, different and exciting, new services or new products or something?
Exactly.
Okay.
And I recommend writing a short, concise, creative pitch over, you know, a one- or two-page press release, because not everybody has the time to read your press release, and most times press releases don't necessarily, are not that newsworthy.
Well, let's talk about that, because you know, we've been hit for so many years, decades, about, you know, issue a press release, and then there's those online press release services that charge you a certain amount of money to circulate your press release throughout the country or throughout a certain region of the country. And what you're saying is three to four sentences is oftentimes at least as effective as that?
Yes. I have clients that always want me to write them press releases, and then I explain how much more effective a short pitch could be, especially to a contact that I already have. I mean, unless you're announcing something big or launching something new, I don't really think that a press release is exactly the best way to approach the media.
And is that like a new phenomenon because of email nowadays, or what do you attribute that to?
It's what's worked for me, and I just continue to do it. I wouldn't really say it's a phenomenon. It's just, I would say, more of common sense. Somebody will read a four-sentence email, three-sentence email, and not, you know, a whole page.
Mm-hmm. But well, I guess they're pretty busy, right? Particularly
exactly.
Now that there's so many media outlets out there. How do you, well, that's a great tip to, you know, basically put together a 3 or 4 sentence email that announces whatever it is, concise and interesting. And then how do you choose who to submit that to? I mean,
well,
obviously, if you know them, I guess that's
right.
Easy. But let's say you don't.
Exactly. If you know them, it makes your job a lot easier. But if you don't, you need to figure out who your target audience is. And the easiest way, if you don't have access to Bacon's, which is an online media directory, would be to buy your favorite, you know, magazine or your target magazine and open it up and look at the masthead and see, you know, who is the fashion editor, who is the beauty editor, you know, who's doing lifestyle. And then from there, you know, you can call up the magazine and ask for the person's email address.
Okay. For a second to the publication you referred to. Can you tell us what that is again?
It's called Bacon's, and it's an online media directory, and basically it's every newspaper, magazine, TV, news channel across the country and all the contacts that work there.
Okay, and do they have a website that you can tell people about so we can check it out?
Yes, it's baconsmediasource.com.
Like the kind you eat, bacon?
Yes. Yes.
All right. All right. There's, okay, great. Well, that's a wonderful source. And so whether you're using that or sending it to someone that you know or checking out publications that you actually look at and want to be featured in and getting the information there, there's basically at least 3 ways to do it. But the idea, again, is to keep the pitch short and sweet and to the point?
Yes.
Okay.
Also, if you have an image that will really grab the reader, I also suggest sending an image as well.
Really? And do sometimes media people get a little upset when you send an attachment? Do they sometimes get a little nervous about opening those from strangers?
Yes. So you have to be careful to who you send it to. Again, if you know the person, they will open your email. And sometimes if you embed the image, it won't necessarily show up as an attachment.
Mm-hmm.
But the image will be there when you open up the email.
Oh, well, that's a good idea. You can embed it because you also put, like, a link in the email to say, you know, here's a picture, here's a link with the photograph.
Right. You can
that opens
that, yes.
Up immediately. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So it sounds like there's no right or wrong way to do this.
No, it's pretty much trial and error and luck. Luck that they're working on something that you would fit into.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the time frame. I know we recently launched at Indie Beauty Network a new media leads program for our members, and I helped a member respond to a query from a reporter at the Boston Globe in December, and the story came out March the 1st.
Yes.
And, of course, in the meantime, she was like, when's my story coming out? When's it coming out? You know, and, of course, we'd never know whether the, number one, the story will come out at all.
Right.
And then number two, whether they'll be included. So can you give us some idea of what we can expect? Are there any expectations once you've done your pitch? Do you just check every day to see if anybody is taking a bite of it?
No, I mean, after you send your pitch, you're going to want to do your follow-up a few days afterwards. You know, you have to give the reporter some time to actually read through your email because you're not the only person pitching to them, and you don't want to be annoying. So you just follow up and you know, you kind of keep your fingers crossed because they could say you're getting in and then the article comes out and then, you know, you didn't make the last cut.
Mm-hmm.
So like you said, you just really never know till it comes out.
Right.
However, when they do fact check, that's always a great sign that you will be part of the article.
Now, what's a fact check?
That's when their fact checking person, editor, or it sometimes could be an assistant, calls you just to make sure that, you know, the price is correct and spelling is correct and if there's any ingredients that they need, if it's a beauty story and it's about ingredients, that all the information that you sent is correct.
Oh, okay. So, all right. Well, that's, I guess that means you're in the final running.
Yes.
And it's so funny because depending on the publication, it could still be another 6 months before.
Yeah, I mean, I'm working with publications right now that are for July.
Well, you know, it sounds like one of the things that small businesses need to do is to do this a lot, like not just respond or send a couple of emails out to a few media outlets, but is sort of on par with what you did with your marketing last year, is you did like hundreds at a time.
Yes, it's a continuous process. Somebody could say no today, and then next week will realize that it's a fit for something else that they're working on. So just because somebody says no thank you, that doesn't mean that you should just stop. You should try and come up with a different angle. Again, short, concise, and creative, and just keep pitching. Eventually, if the product is good enough, eventually it'll get in.
So, Sabrina, how do you distinguish yourself? Let's just say many of my listeners are bath and body products manufacturers, and they have wonderfully unique products. The brands are great, you know, but at the end of the day, I wonder how many beauty editors see, you know, a sugar scrub as a sugar scrub.
Right.
How do you distinguish yourself, and I know there's probably lots of answers to these questions, but just in general, how do you distinguish yourself from other people that are manufacturing the same types of things? What are some tips that you can offer in that regard?
Well, I would say packaging, number one, is key, and photographing your products. That's going to differentiate you from the next one. I have clients right now that have eye-catching packaging, and that's what's helped them get into different magazines that they've been wanting to get into. And again, you need to make sure that your whole line is photographed with high resolution photos, so that if an editor needs it, you know, you don't need to wait a week to have somebody photograph the item. It's already there, already ready to go, and you won't miss your chance of getting into that story.
Okay, and by high resolution, you mean high enough resolution clarity for a print magazine as opposed to on the internet?
Yes, correct.
Well, you know, it makes me think about bottled water, okay? I walk in a grocery store, and you go to the water aisle, and, of course, you see the gallon or five-gallon containers of, you know, the store brand. And then you see a whole aisle of water in plastic bottles. And it makes me think about that company, I think it's Vitamin Water, who one day the owner said, you know, I went into the store to buy some water, and I looked at all these bottles of water, and I was like, how do I choose? So he, like, colors and adds flavor to one, puts it in the same kind of bottle, puts it on the shelf, and people flock to it.
Yep.
It's just really sort of interesting that all these different companies are successful selling bottled water. Even if you take the colored water out of it, they're still selling water to people, I guess, as you said, because it's the packaging and the way they build their brand up.
Yes. You have to have something that's going to draw somebody in to you, and that's what really is going to make the difference between you and the next person.
Well, it's interesting, too, because on the Internet, you know, of course, it's a specific way to market a business. It's a specific type of business model to have an online business where, you know, 95-100% of your sales are through the Internet. Does that make it even more important for the products to be photographed in more than just a plain kind of way?
Yes. I usually work with some of my new clients that come on board on their website, because you want everything to look clean and up to date, and I really feel that the images play a big role in having media interested in your products.
So when someone contacts you about your services, is that one of the first things you do, is kind of look at the packaging and see if it's something that you would feel comfortable pitching?
Exactly. If I don't feel that I could sell your product, I won't work with the person. I could offer suggestions and reasons why I feel that I wouldn't be successful at taking them aboard, but I really like to work with people that I can bring them to the next level.
Okay. So do you offer people, you know, hour-based consulting services in that regard to kind of help, you know, give them some tips? Okay, this is a great product, but here's what would make it more, quote-unquote, pitchable?
Well, to be honest with you, I probably should do that, but I do it on a complimentary basis, and I think a lot of people really appreciate that business owner-wise, and down the road, after they do listen to what I had to say, I end up working with them in the end because they appreciated how candid I was and how I wouldn't charge them in the beginning, and they really just appreciate that and would give me their business later down the line when they were ready to work with an agency.
Mm-hmm. So once you've, let's say you've gotten your photographs ready at your website and they're nicely done and the product is, of course, top quality. And, I mean, other than the photograph, what sorts of things do you put in that 3 or 4 sentence blurb that make it just memorable? I mean, you know, you can't say I've got great packaging, right?
No, that would not work. I think the first sentence needs to be something very witty. You know, if you're promoting something, for example, one of my clients is a jewelry designer, and she's got these really beautiful bird necklaces that she makes. And my pitch for right now was about the spring and how the birds flew down flew south for the winter, and now they're coming back. And I wrote something really witty, and she's gotten several hits from it, and there was a lot of interest, and a lot of people requested images or they requested samples. She's going to be in a few spreads for spring and summer style. So it's really how you write those 3 or 4 sentences, because you really only have, you know, one shot that day to make an impression.
Mm-hmm. Now help us understand a little bit about the tenor of our contact, because I know so many small business owners feel like, oh, you know, I need to be really nice to the media, and the media is, you know, bow down to the media, and
right.
You know,
well,
they're doing me a favor. So how do we prepare an email that conveys confidence in our product while at the same time letting them know that, you know, we're also knowing that, you know, there's 55,000 other people sending you the same message?
Well, most importantly, you don't want to suck up to anybody. You want to address anyone, a member of the media, as you would anyone. You just have to be very short and to the point, because like you said, they're getting emails all day, every day. So, you know, if your message is shorter and to the point, you're going to be more likely to receive a response, whether it's, you know, positive or negative feedback towards whatever you're saying. At least you'd be getting a response, because most times they don't even have time to write you back. And if you dare call them to follow up, you know, sometimes they don't even have time to be bothered with your phone call, and sometimes they won't even take your phone call. And going back to Bacon's media source, they actually tell you the preferred order of receiving pitches, if it's by email, by mail, by phone, because, you know, everybody likes to receive their messages different ways.
Mm-hmm. It's really interesting. That alone is really interesting. I just remember not too long ago I had a short interview with a member of the media, and she was talking to me from the elliptical climber at the gym.
Right.
And I remember thinking, she was huffing and puffing. I could hardly understand what she was saying. And when I got off the phone with her, the person that was helping me, you know, sort of contact her, or someone that knows her, who had sort of put the contact together, I said, you know, what was she doing? And she's like, she was at the gym. It's like all the time she had to talk to you.
Exactly.
And I was like, wow, gee, that was amazing to me. And meanwhile, I had, like, set aside the whole afternoon.
Yeah, their schedules are just
for, like, 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, their schedules are very tight, so you have to make the best of, you know, whenever they're ready. Yeah, you should be available to take their call, because you don't know if you call them back if they'll even be available for you.
Right.
So in that respect, yes, I would try as much as possible to take their calls and to answer their emails when they do email you back.
Okay, great.
Yeah, not to hold off too long.
Well, that's good. That's good. We're going to come back in our last segment and talk some more with Sabrina of Push the Envelope PR. You can call your questions or comments in to her at 800-773-0355. This is Indie Business Radio. We'll be right back.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to Indie Business Radio. We're here this afternoon talking with our guest, Sabrina, the owner of Push the Envelope PR. And in case you haven't noticed, I'm not saying her last name because I think I butchered it my first time around. Sabrina, what is your last name? What is the correct way to pronounce it?
It's Bouye.
Bouye. I did butcher it the first time around. So for those of you who listened to the first segment, and pretend I said Sabrina Bouye, owner of Push the Envelope PR. So excited to have you here, Sabrina.
Thank you. We have covered
so much ground in the short time we've had. We've talked about what public relations is and how it differs from general marketing and advertising. We've talked about how to choose a publicist, how to hire a publicist, and what to expect. We've also talked about ways to do your own PR, how to reach out and do your own pitches, and you shared a great source with us. Now I want to talk a little bit, in the time we have left, Sabrina, about what to do once you get that hit. Let's say you have a website business and you get a hit in a beauty blog, and by hit I mean they write about you in their beauty blog or their beauty newsletter. What do you do?
I would make a page on my own website of all press, and really use that little hit to be the starting point of bigger and better things. Those beauty blogs really generate a lot of traffic. So from there, you could sort of use what they printed, what they wrote up about you in your next pitch, so that the next person you're pitching, it would give you a little bit more credibility so that they could see that you've already been, you know, here. And then from there, you just kind of use it as a domino effect, and, you know, if you can get into USA Today, that's a really, obviously, great source to be in and to have that on your record. And then the next magazine that you want to be in, you could say, you know, I was featured in USA Today, and if you are good enough to be there, then they should think that you're good enough to be in their publication.
Right, their comfort level, they relax a little bit that they don't have to be worried. Now, what if you have, let's just say you know, you're pitching yourself and you're doing it over and over again. A lot of people think that, or I've talked with some people who, you know, get really excited about it and really fired up at the beginning. And then they realize, you know, I've got to pitch my product like a bazillion times before one or two people email me or call me back.
Yeah.
What kind of advice can you give to people who are sort of in that position? You know, Sabrina, with like your client who makes jewelry, if she makes it herself, or even if she doesn't, she's got to oversee manufacturing. She's got to update her website. She's got to work with people on the shows that she does. How do you follow up on these things and keep track of them? How important is it to do that and really make time to do this in your schedule?
Well, it's very important, and that, again, is why I said if you don't have the time, you should really look into hiring someone, because no matter how great your product is or how great your service is, if nobody knows about it, then it's pointless.
Mm.
And you really need, one of the most important things that you could do for your business is to focus and concentrate on gaining public relations and getting those PR hits.
Well, if you have a question for Sabrina about your own PR challenges or issues, you can call your comment or question in toll-free, 800-773-0355. Now, Sabrina, a lot of people overlook the value of local publicity, that is, smaller magazines, newsletters, newspapers in their own backyard. Can you comment on how significant or whether they can be significant as you build your business?
I think it's very important. A smaller local newspaper would be more apt to do a business story or a lifestyle feature story on your business because there might not be that much to write about in your small town. So if you could get a story from a local paper, again, you could use that story and get bigger national things from that. So I think that any lead that you can get, that you should definitely take advantage of and pitch. Just keep pitching and don't get discouraged.
And Sabrina, when you say lifestyle stories, what are you describing there?
One of my clients is a sweater. She has a sweater knitting company based in Florida, and she's going to be on ABC Extreme Home Makeover. So a local Orlando paper did a lifestyle story on her, and basically she's a grandmother, and all her photographs have her grandkids, and the writer made a human interest story about this grandmother who knits in Florida. Now she's going to be on ABC Home Makeover.
Now, tell us the story about how she got that. Of course, it had everything to do with you, I'm sure.
Right. Well, again,
that's an incredibly exciting thing for a small business owner who would not otherwise, you know, be able to get attention for her hand-knit sweaters.
Exactly. So I helped her redo her website, which is currently in the process of being relaunched. Mm-hmm. Her photographs are amazing. They're her grandkids, and they're all candid shots, so they're not sitting there posing for the camera. And you could really just feel the emotion behind the pictures of the children playing, and the sweaters sell themselves. So, I mean, again, it's pitching, and it's, you know, getting to that editor, writer on the right day, and, mm-hmm. you know, getting them to see your vision.
Interesting that she's not only pitching the product, but she's telling the story of her grandkids. We'll have some time to talk about that. Right now we have a call from Lisa in Connecticut who has a question about sending out emails to people you don't know. Welcome to Indie Business Radio, Lisa.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. What's your question?
Well, I have a small business, and I was going to go through Constant Contact to send out, you know, a mass media blitz. And what I was told is that if I'm sending emails to companies and people that I don't know, it's actually spam, and it's illegal to do that. So it kind of took the fire out of my idea about sending out all this media campaign. And I just wondered if you could give me your thoughts on that.
How many people are you looking to send the email to?
I probably had a list of about 100 to 200.
I wouldn't necessarily call it spam. There's a way that you could do through Word, like a mail merger almost.
Okay.
And if you're addressing each person
right.
so that they're getting their own email, and again, it's a short, you know, short and sweet email, here's what I'm doing, here's the story, here's my contact information if you need any, you know, information or have any questions. I don't see anything wrong with that.
Okay. All right, that's great.
I would definitely continue.
Okay, I didn't want to get any negative feedback or anything.
No, and you know what? It's very rare that somebody would respond negatively through email unless you're sending it to the wrong person.
Okay.
And again, the wrong person being a research editor instead of, a beauty or a fashion editor or, you know, a lifestyle or features editor.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to send it to an executive editor or a managing editor. You want to send it to just an editor
okay.
or a contributing editor.
All right, great. Well, thanks a lot.
Thank you for your
question, Lisa.
You're welcome. Sabrina, I guess that points out the importance of selecting the publication carefully and making sure that you read a little bit about it or get the Bacon's media source so you're sending it to the right person.
Exactly. You don't want to send, you know, a hand cream to a fashion accessory editor because then they get angry because not only do they have, you know, 100 emails to answer that day, but now you just sent something that has no relevance to them, and it kind of makes them a little bit angry that you didn't do your homework.
Right, and most of the time, correct me if I'm wrong, rather than letting you know the right thing to do, they'll just delete it.
Exactly.
And just move on.
And you continue to do, you know, the wrong thing.
Right. So in Lisa's position, would you suggest that she actually send out these messages individually so they can be more easily tracked?
Yes, I would. And also, you want the person to feel like you're personally addressing them and you're not sending a mass email to, you know, 100 people, because they may get annoyed at that as well.
Well, you know, that's a huge point, because, and it applies, I guess, not only when you're dealing with the media, but just when you're dealing with anyone. Dear blank is just not, you just doesn't entice you to read any further than that.
Exactly.
Or dear media person. I guess we all get our share of those, though. So think about how you feel when you get one, and that's how impersonal perhaps an editor or something would feel if they get one. Now, Sabrina, let's talk for a second about something you mentioned earlier, your client in Florida who knits sweaters. You said that she's not only talking about the product, which sells itself, but she's talking about her grandkids. Can you talk a little bit more about, you know, what does that mean in terms of pitching your product? Does it benefit you to add some other, you know, thing of interest about yourself that really doesn't relate specifically to the products to catch people's attention?
Well, yes. Again, any way that you could be different than the next person is in your advantage. And again, the story with the grandkids, the pictures, they really pull you in. And yeah, there's a ton of other sweater companies out there, but are they all hand-knit from a grandmother? And you know, is the line photographed with the grandkids outside in the yard playing? And she's got things that no other sweater companies have, and that's the pull, and that's what works, and that's, you know, that's the story that the media like to hear and to see those pictures.
So it's really the art of telling not only about your products, but what your story is.
Exactly. You need to find bigger.
That's interesting, too, because you mentioned the example of USA Today. When I read the business section of USA Today, every week they have a little segment about, you know, some interesting small business owner, and they talk about the product for about two lines, and the rest of it is the story behind the product. And I was looking at an ad for Outback Steakhouse recently. It was a full, huge page in a full newspaper. It was a picture of their blooming onion, and then underneath that was the story of the new products that they launched every year since they opened. And I thought that was so interesting, because it wasn't, you know, our blooming onion is so
exactly.
good.
Exactly. It was the story behind it. And that's, most times, that's what media are interested in, the story behind it or the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not just your hand cream, but the story behind it,
how it developed. I'm so glad that you shared that. I love that point, because it's all over the place, and your client in Florida, you know, being that she's, like you said, a grandmother, and she makes the sweaters, and the grandchild story, and how important baby boomers are these days, and people doing second careers. I mean, you have so many stories to tell, so people should, you know, look at their story.
Exactly.
Well, thank you, Sabrina Bouillet, for being here this afternoon on Indie Business Radio. You can visit Sabrina's website at pushtheenvelopepr.com, where you can learn more about Sabrina and the services that she offers. I want to let you guys know that we've got some great shows coming up next week. Fresh from his appearance on The Oprah Winfrey Show and Larry King Live is James Ray. He talks about true happiness being not about balance, but about harmony. James Ray says that balance is bogus. How about that? With all the talk in every newspaper and magazine and radio and TV show today about balance, we really want to hear about balance being bogus. And what isn't bogus? How can we find that kind of harmony in our lives? James Ray is going to be here next week to share that with us. Thanks for joining us today. I hope you have gotten some great tips about doing your own public relations outreach from our guest, Sabrina Bouillet. I hope you'll join us next week on Indie Business Radio. And don't forget to check out the website at indiebeauty.com. Click on the radio link, and you can listen to the shows, you can download them, or you can stream them from wherever you are doing your business. They're great shows, and they can help you as they've helped so many other people. This is Indie Business Radio. Donna Maria signing off for the next week. See you next time.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.